our wicked hearts, but God. We read in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, that we were dead in our sins and trespasses in which we once walked, that we were possessions of Satan, that we were regarded as sons of disobedience. But Ephesians 2, verse 4 is where the good news of the gospel comes into effect. Read it with me. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5. But God, this is our testimony, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God. I was set on my journey of living my life the way that I wanted to live it, but God. This is such a beautiful picture of the grace of God. From death to life, this is a work that only Jesus can do. I imagine, I tried to put myself in this man's shoes, that he did everything he could to rid himself of this demon or whatever he thought he had in this torture. Maybe he had tried running, hoping that he could control it on his own. We know for a fact that he had tried suicide, hoping that it would just all be over with. Maybe he tried dependency upon substances to mute the pain of his own brokenness. Maybe at times he even tried things before the demons really grabbed control of him, thinking and trying to convince himself that if he just had enough money, if he just had enough success, if he just had enough of whatever that is, then he would have control over his life. Maybe he tried distraction, that if he just didn't ever think about it, that if he just subdued it, that he would never have to worry about it again. Maybe he even tried religion, believing that if he did enough for God, that somehow he could make himself good enough, make himself clean enough to earn God's favor. Yet as time continued on, the strength and grip of the demons grew stronger and his hope waned. But God, the liberator, had come. Do you know the one that can set you free from your sins and despair? There is one who has come. There is one that can bring life when there is only death. Jesus approaches us. Jesus has the power to change us. And those whom he changes, he also commissions. That's what we see in verses 14 through 20. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And what was their reaction? They were afraid. And those who had seen it described it to them, what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away, and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. The truth that we see is that Jesus commissions those he changes. He commissions us into his mission, those whom he changes. We first see two reactions. We see the reaction of the former demoniac, the changed man. Luke chapter 8 actually says that this man was now sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a beautiful picture of the person whose life has been changed by Jesus to be literally sitting at his feet, learning from him, glorifying him. The man was now sitting. He was no longer on the run. He was no longer afraid, but was sitting. He was at peace. He was calm. The text says that he was now in his right mind, The man was no longer crazy. Jesus had restored the image of God to this man who was profoundly disfigured. And he was changed forever. The question is that do we believe that Jesus can change things now? That he changes lives now? This past week, I was reading a story from the Murfreesboro Daily News Journal. And it was the story of this man named Danny Deshay Holmes. He had been charged with murder of this man. And there was, in this story, it describes the court as the man approached. And he said, in a statement that shocked the court, he actually pled guilty to the murder of a man nearly 3 years ago and confessed to it. And so they asked, why would you do this? Why would you confess to this murder that you might have been able to get off for? He took time to explain to the court that over a year ago, God had changed his life. That the Lord had drastically changed this man's life and was prodding him actually to tell the truth about what had happened on that fateful evening nearly 3 years ago. When he said this, "I knew the Lord was just on me, weighing on me over and over. I'm 30, fighting for gangs. I've been fighting for nothing all of my life. I've never fought for anything that made sense, but I knew the Lord was telling me to fight for him in this time. I just knew he was stirring my spirit." What led him to confess, you might ask? It was reading the song, the lyrics of the song Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave. He said this lyric is what actually changed his heart. He said this lyric as he read it, "Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won." He decided in that moment that he was going to tell the truth. I'm amazed by that. And so as his family sobbed, of course, he turned to his mother and he said these words, "Mama, you know I love you, but Mama, I promise you, your baby boy, he's going to serve the Lord forever." How amazing is that? Do we really believe that Jesus has the power to transform and save lives? This man admitted and said, "I am fully deserving of the death sentence." Beloved, you and I are fully deserving of the death sentence that has been come to us because of our sin. But God, amen. My consequences deserve a life sentence. But we see here and we see in my life that Jesus can change us. That he, because of his cross and because of the resurrection, he forgives us. Maybe you need that hope. Maybe you need that restoration this morning. The one thing that will stop Jesus is what the Gerasenes did. They asked him to depart their region. Jesus will not go where he is not wanted and not welcome. They sent him away. So brother and sister, if God's stirring in your heart this morning, don't turn him away. Turn to Christ for salvation. And so in gratitude, this man begged that he would be able to stay with Jesus the rest of his life. But Jesus had a different plan. Rather than staying there, he requested and said that, "I want you to go home." He did not permit him. "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done." Jesus changed him and then he commissioned him. Jesus saved him and then he sent him. In the same way, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we have a testimony of God's grace in our life, God is calling us to share that with other people. This is why we have the Great Commission that Jesus is sending us. So go to your family and friends. Go to the person on the golf course that you love to play with that doesn't know this. Go to the one that God has been putting on your hearts. And then we see the townspeople. These townspeople sent Jesus away. They were scared. They thought about the cost of doing business. The cost of 2,000 pigs was too great for a changed life. And so they were like, get away from us. And here's a great quote from Danny Aiken. The Gerizines might not have wanted Jesus, but Jesus still wanted them. And that's why Jesus left his witness there. And that's what we are as the church. Jesus says in Acts 1:8 that we will be his witnesses all throughout the world. That's why Jesus has left the church here. Jesus, in his love and compassion for the Gerizines, would not leave them without a witness. Jesus, in his love for your family member. Jesus, in his love for your coworker. Jesus, in love for the person that you get coffee with, the coffee barista that you know that doesn't know the Lord, has left a witness. And you are the witness. He's inviting us to be on mission in him, with him, that he desires to use us. This is the story of a changed life. And so as we respond today, some of you may need to come forward or talk to somebody in the back, and God's stirring in your heart, and you've never repented of your sins and turned and trusted Christ alone for salvation. May that be today. May today be the day of salvation. Don't ask Jesus to go away. For most of us, we are saved and commissioned. Maybe we need to remember the story of God's grace in our lives. Maybe we need to marinate on that, of what he has done in each of our hearts. And what that does is it will bring about gratitude. It will bring about thankfulness. It will bring about love. It will bring about joy in our life, because these are the things that Jesus manifests in a heart that is sitting at his feet. Finally, though, Jesus is commissioning you. If you're here and you are a believer, Jesus is commissioning you. And what we're going to ask you to do today, and as the song is playing in a song of response, what we want you to do is the one person that God has been pulling on you, is tugging at you to share your faith, to pray for, what we want you to do is we want you to come forward, and we've got cards and we've got pens. And what we want you to do is we want you to write that one person's name down that you're going to maybe invite to church, that you're going to share your story of God's grace with, that Jesus has sent him to share all that he has done. Jesus is sending you to share all that he has done in your life. Who's your one? Would you come forward today, write that name down, and put it on the chicken wire as a display and as a reminder that what Jesus has done in your life and that he is sending you out. Would you pray with me as we respond? Jesus, thank you that you are good and that you are merciful, that you change lives. That it's not just a past reality, that you used to change lives. But God, the person that is hopeless, that is dead in their own sin now, God, that you desire to change their life for your glory. And so, God, would in this moment, would you put a name on our hearts as believers that you are desiring for us to pray for, that you are desiring to send us to share your good news, to love well, to pray for. God, would we be bold in the way that we share, but would we do it with such a gentleness and respect that comes from you? Would you shape us? Would you change us? Lord, thank you for the testimony of your grace in our lives, that we were dead, but you approached us and have changed us and have sent us. So may we be obedient in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray.